Peace. This desired yet elusive ideal is not found in politics, the news, social media, addictions, or shallow relationships. Peace is only found through Jesus Christ. When we are at peace with God, then God's peace may be in us.
O Holy Night, by Adolphe Adam, 1847. There is a line that depicts the peace of God as a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. It's a breath of crisp mountain air, a sublime sunset, a breakthrough on a difficult project, or a baby's first cry after a hard night of labor. It's peace. A peace that settles deep into the bones and stills an anxious soul.
Today marks the second week of Advent, a season recognized by the Church around the world. It's a time to prepare our hearts and lives to welcome the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas. We track this season by engaging in several rhythms, one of them being to light candles, one for each week leading up to Christmas Day. Today we light the second candle, traditionally called the Candle of Peace.
Old Testament prophecies in the Bible were written for their immediate context. But some of these prophecies were also a foreshadow to Jesus. At Christmas, we read prophecies to remind us of who Jesus is and why Jesus came to us at Christmas.
Isaiah 9:6 is a popular scripture used in Advent. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came as a child born to us, with the eternal government of heaven on his shoulders as his responsibility. Jesus is in charge. Where Jesus rules, there is peace.
Like a legend of old, Jesus rules with authority and power, and treats those who live in the kingdom of Christ with kindness and honor. As Micah 5, verses 4 and 5 says, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace."
Please pray with me. Jesus, our peace, be near to us when our lives seem far from peaceful. Assure us of your presence with us. We need you, Holy Spirit, and we cry out to you for help. Be our gentle shepherd, our wise king, and the peace of our hearts, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord and worship, isn't it? It really is. I tell you what, last Monday when we woke up to snow, I was a little bit more excited about Christmas. And then yesterday when it's like 50-some degrees, it's like, what happened to all things Christmas? Where did it go? Jesus was born in the desert. There, that's a good way to think about it. Good way to think about it. Well, once again, good to have you all here today. What a great day for us to be together. Just a couple of reminders of some certain things for you. QR code is there on the screen. You can utilize at any point in time. And also just make sure that if you are interested in having some type of prayer request, you can do that through that app. That would be just fine. Couple of really important things are happening today that you need to be very aware of. And some of you already saw it when you arrived this morning, and that is that our giving tree just outside of the sanctuary is full of tags. So here's some things that you need to know about that. That tags are there. We're going to be blessing four families this year, which is a total of 21 people, and they are families He's from Nixon Elementary School, which is part of our neighborhood, and so it's a great way for us to interact with them. Couple of things. When you grab a tag, use that to record on the table just across the way from it what you've chosen on the sign-up sheets. So match the name of the tag to the list so that each family is listed there and that's separate, and mark the tag with the gift design and all that stuff. So take care of those things. Return the gifts by next Sunday. Okay, that, I know it's a quick turnaround, but the reality is that we didn't get all the information, so we couldn't give you all the information, and so we're going to do the best that we possibly can. So bring them back next Sunday, place them under the tree, and then with the tag attached to the string on the tag. So take care of that. You know, make sure that you're attaching the tag to the gift and all of that. Also, if you purchased a gift card, which our gift cards are going to be listed on a sign-up genius that will be sent out later on today, then hand them to someone from the outreach team. If you can't find someone from the outreach team, find me, and I will point you in the direction to give you to somebody. And then we're going to wrap gifts next Tuesday. And we do that with a soup supper and fun wrapping presents. And it's a great fun evening. And I would just say that if you're thinking, well, I don't like to wrap, neither do I. And I'm not good at it. I'm horrible. So you can be the tape person like I am. That's always fun. Just put all kinds of tape on your hands and just go around. And who needs tape? Or you can just say to someone, that doesn't look right. With lots of love. Lots of love. No, I'm kidding. We're going to have some sign-up sheets that will have a sign-up for soups, rolls, desserts. And then if you are interested in helping out as far as getting the sanctuary set up, we'll need some time with that. We also need some gift boxes. So if you have any of those, bring them along with you, medium size to small size. And then also we're in need of about 10 to 12 larger boxes that will help us transport the gifts to Nixon Elementary. And then if you're interested in helping as far as setup, that will start at 5 o'clock on the 17th. If you have any questions, contact or ask questions of Faith Kenchlow or Terry Carter, or I'll point you in the direction of somebody else that might be able to help you out with that. So take care of that today. And let's be honest. If you don't take tags today, you can come anytime this week, and I'll have the church open for you, guaranteed on Monday afternoon, noon, after Wednesday, noon, and then the rest of the week from about 9 o'clock on. So you can come to the church and pick those tags up if you need them. That's fantastic, especially if someone's not here today and they would like to participate. Poinsettias are still available for your purchase. $12 is the cost of those. We utilize those to decorate our sanctuary, but then also they're in honor or in memory of a loved one, and you get to take them home after the Christmas Eve service. And those sign-up sheets are in the kitchen window or at the welcome table, and you can hand those to Andrea Brown when you fill those out. Next Sunday, a couple of things that you need to be aware of. It is our Christmas Sweater Sunday, and so if you are a Christmas sweater person and you want to wear it to church, that this is your Sunday, okay? The beautiful, the better, okay? And when I say beautiful, I say that tongue in cheek. That's however you want to wear them, okay? We also have our Christmas goodie extravaganza that is happening after the worship service. So if you have baked or cooked you bake Christmas goodies, right? Mostly. I don't know. Anyways, that's going to happen. Bring some of those Christmas goodies, and we'll share those after the kids' Christmas program, which will take place next Sunday. And the kids have been putting in a lot of work for this program, so you want to be here. Don't miss out on that, and you'll be blessed, I'm sure, by what the kids have put together, and I think it'll be great next Sunday. This Thursday is what is called the Blue Christmas Reflective Evening. This Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30, we are going to have the Blue Christmas Reflective Evening. And sometimes we just need a space to be in God's presence, to think, to pray, to reflect, to pay attention to what our bodies and our minds are experiencing in different hurts and different joys. And sometimes we just need a space to be silent in the busyness of the Christmas season. And so this night is a simple come and go as you please type of night. It is a reflective night. And so just if you are interested, come and you'll participate in some opportunities to pray and to have some silence before the Lord and just prepare our hearts, center us for what we really need to be reflective of this Christmas season. So that will take place this coming Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together today and God's blessing on our kids as they are practicing for the kids' program. Father, we recognize that in the midst of our daily lives, we are experiencing a variety of things. The hustle and the bustle of this season is very real. It's very, very much something that we experience in different ways. But we also experience the heaviness of this season. We experience the expectation of your movement, of your work in our lives. And we also experience just some emotions that we may not feel at other times of the year. And so, God, we pray that this morning you will speak to us. As we hear your word spoken to us, as we think about the time period of the Advent season, the coming of your son Jesus, we reflect on these things. God, even though we know the rest of the story, we know that your son came to the earth to live among us. We rejoice in that, but we also are in the other side of Advent where we are waiting and expecting the second coming of your son Jesus. And Lord, in the midst of our waiting, would you work among us? Lord, we realize that this week has been a busy week for many of us. For some, it's been a hard week. But in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of maybe our joy as well, you have been very evident. You are speaking. You are working. And your will is being done in the world that we live in. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you that your divine plan is not stopped. Nothing can stop it. And we thank you for that, God. Lord, will you be with us today and tomorrow and the rest of our lives? Be with our kids as they practice for their program today. Lord, will you just give them the words that they need and the work that they need to accomplish for it. God, you are good. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we pray these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Kids, we're going to dismiss you for your practice today. So head on back to your leaders and they'll take you in for your time of practice today. So as the kids are dismissed, let me ask you a question. When you wait for something, how do you handle it? Are you good at waiting? Or does waiting drive you crazy? Think about it for just a second. when you're in the middle of a texting conversation with someone and you see the little bubbles pop up and you know they're writing something, but it takes a few moments before you get that text, how are you doing? Are you like anticipating? Are you anxious? Are you waiting for something? Or are you just like, I didn't even notice that the bubbles are even there. Anybody with me? Because it took me a little bit to remember that the bubbles were there. Do you, when Thanksgiving was here and you were smelling the amazing smells of turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and sweet potato, do you guys do sweet potato pie around here? Or you just do sweet potato bakes or whatever it is? Anyways, were you anxiously waiting for those things to get done so that you could eat them? Did anybody sneak a slice of pie before it was time for Thanksgiving? I did. It was apple. It was really good, too. This Thanksgiving, I was not very good at waiting. We were going to visit my mom and dad in Illinois, and Andrea was asking me, hey, when do you want to go? I'm like, it doesn't matter when we go. I'm excited. Like, I can't wait to go. And it wasn't about anything that we were doing, because we had no plans other than to be at mom and dad's and just eat food. That's it. Nothing. But I was, like, seriously, like, antsy, and I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to get to mom and dad's and do nothing. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? When we were there, I had found a recipe for my mom loves pecan pie, and she's not a pie person at all, other than pecan pie. She doesn't really care for all that stuff. She actually shouldn't eat pie because it has flour in it, and she has a gluten allergy, and it makes her sick, so she avoids it most of the time. But I found this 1914 pecan pie recipe that doesn't use Karo syrup. So I'm thinking, how in the world what is this going to taste like? So we started making it and stirring it and slowly warming it. It took us 45 minutes at least to get the filling done, because we just worked it so slowly. It ended up being a really good pie, but I could not wait for this thing to get done. I was doing a lot of the whisking, so my arm was tired, and so it was like, okay, when is this thing going to get done? But it was the idea of waiting. I was anticipating having some pecan pie. Waiting is not always our strength. The anticipation that we feel about certain things is sometimes overwhelming. It's like that good meal, that Thanksgiving meal, or for me, sometimes pizza is what does me in when I have to wait for some pizza. That's like the worst thing in the world, is having to wait for those types of things. Yet, what we always say is this: it was worth the wait. That might be some of the most painfully satisfying statements in the world, isn't it? It was worth the wait. Things often take longer than we realize. It's a lesson that we have to learn when we're young, yet we don't like it at all at any point in time, but we still have to wait. And sometimes we even have to wait on God. How hard is that for you, to wait on God? It's difficult. Let's be honest. When we're really in the midst of something and we're just waiting on God, and we're thinking that he's moving like a snail through, and we're just experiencing all kinds of different emotions and feelings, and it's like, God, if you would only answer this, or God, if you would do that, and we're trying to do it all for God, and he's just, wait, be patient, wait. During the 400 years between the last of the prophets to the New Testament time period is what we call the intertestamental period. And it's those 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. It was a time of waiting. It was a silent period of time. If you can imagine the silence of God for 400 years, not a prophet, not a king, not a priest, nobody experienced the word of God during that time period, yet the people were faithful. The people were looking forward to what would happen. The people were anticipating something that God would do in their lives, maybe, if they would just wait. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for the promises of God from years ago to be answered. There was an expectation that they were waiting for, that God would someday fulfill his word, the promise that he said that there would be a Messiah, that there would be one who would become the king and his kingdom would never end. And they were also waiting for the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. Yeah, the one who would come before the Messiah and say, prepare yourselves, get ready. He is coming. Isaiah speaks of both of these things. Isaiah 40 verses 3 through 5 says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in every desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and rough ground shall become leveled, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And it tells us who this forerunner is. Isaiah 7:14 says this, that therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Micah 5:2 says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. See, not only was a forerunner prophesied about, but there was the Messiah that was prophesied. And then there was the location in which the Messiah would come from. Bethlehem, specifically Bethlehem. A ruler would come from there, the place of David of ancient times. Yet, they still waited. It hadn't happened yet, but they were expecting and they were waiting. And maybe they're like you and I when we go to Culver's and we're waiting for our double bacon cheeseburger, butter burger, and our fries. And we're like, come on, I'm ready for it. I'm hungry. Give me food now before I get too hangry, right? They were waiting. But have you ever wondered what they might have been waiting, how they had the strength to be waiting? Because God's word gives us strength when we're waiting. Passages such as Lamentations 3:25 through 26, it says, the Lord is good to those who hope in him, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That gives us a little bit of strength, a little bit of confidence in the midst of our waiting. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. What happens when we get ahead of God? Usually nothing good happens. When King Saul didn't wait for the Lord and he performed the sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to, what got taken from him was the kingdom that he was a part of. Now, we may not have a kingdom, but we should still be patient and wait. Isaiah 30 verses 18 says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." There is still hope in the midst of our waiting. Yet it's hard. It's hard to expect things to happen when we don't see any progress, right? It's hard to expect growth in our lives when we don't see any progress. It's hard to see God answering a prayer when we don't see the thumbprints of God working behind the scenes. However we might look at it, waiting is difficult. And you might have a testimony to that fact. You're waiting for an answer to prayer. You're waiting for healing in your body. You're waiting for a diagnosis to come to your inbox to let you know what's going on. Or you're waiting for a family member to make a choice. You're waiting for a loved one to say, "Yep, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to do this." Or you're just waiting for your boss to say, "Yeah, go for it. Do it." Or you're waiting for God to answer the prayer that you've been praying for years. Or you're waiting for strength when you have zero. There is strength in expecting. There is strength in waiting. And as we turn the pages from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the end of waiting comes to a close. In the Gospels, in Luke and Matthew, we're introduced to two older people, two younger people, two angelic appearances, and two miraculous pregnancies. Luke chapter 1 introduces us to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Both older, both faithful, upright in the sight of the Lord. Zechariah, we discover in Luke chapter 1, is a priest, and he has been given the opportunity to have the priestly duties in the temple, and he goes in and does what he's supposed to do. Elizabeth, we discover, is actually a family member, a descendant of old Aaron from the Exodus. She comes from a family of priests. Think about that for just a second. We have a priest, and then we have a lady who is from a family of priests. They're faithful, faithful to the end, yet they are childless. And it's said of Elizabeth that she was barren, that she would not have children. Now, just to put that into context, in antiquity, the common thought was that if you were married and that you were without children, that was God's judgment on you because of something that you did. I don't know how they got there. I don't know how that happened to people, but it did. And can you imagine the pain and the hurt and the shame that Elizabeth and Zechariah are feeling? Here they are, two people who follow God devoutly, faithfully, doing their responsibilities, not only as a priest, but as a person who loves the Lord, and they are walking in very real community shame and pain because they were without a child. Can you imagine the waiting that Elizabeth might have felt? it's possible that for Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't measure their barrenness by months, but they measured it in years. Waiting increases month after month, year after year, maybe decade after decade. But verse 11 in Luke chapter 1 tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, talking to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Yeah, right. Can you imagine if an angel comes and stands near you and you're like, "What?" And he says, "Don't be afraid." That's a good sign that I'm going to be afraid. Someone says, "Don't be afraid." Yep, okay, I am. And this is what he says: "Your prayer has been heard." His prayer, probably not that day, but 40 years earlier. And his prayer has been heard. Can you imagine the waiting, the expectancy? Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. This is the first angelic appearance and a promise of a child, yet Zechariah would not be able to speak a word of it. He was struck mute because he questioned the angel, and I think you and I might do the same if that was us, right? Well, how's that going to be? We're old. But Elizabeth's words are recorded in this and says this: "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Two people, one angel, one impossible pregnancy, and a child that was prophesied about. And then, at the right time, 6 months later, we are introduced to Mary and Joseph, two younger people, engaged, probably very few cares in the world. Up to this point, we know very little about her or her fiancé. They live in a town in Galilee, Nazareth, a kind of out-of-the-way town, not much importance going on in Nazareth. Yet Luke 1:28 tells us of another angelic appearance and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." How's that for a greeting? How's that when you're out minding your own business, maybe doing your own thing, maybe running a couple errands, walking here, going there, and all of a sudden someone comes to you and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." That sounds wild, doesn't it? Not the greetings part. I mean, who knows if that, I mean, we're going to assume that's what it says, but maybe in ancient Greek and Hebrew, greetings is like, "What's up?" I don't know. Maybe that's the context. I'm not saying anything. Just ignore that last part, okay? "But you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now put yourself in this young girl's sandals, somewhere between 14 to 20, maybe. And an angel says, "You're highly favored." What comes next is unbelievable. "Do not be afraid, Mary." Okay? "You have found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." How would this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word be to me fulfilled. And the angel left her. You just get the news that just rocks your world. What's your response? Most of us, our mouth would be agape and be, right? But Mary's response is, I am the Lord's servant. May your words be to me be fulfilled. So we have two couples, two older folks, two younger folks, two angelic experiences, and two miraculous pregnancies. In Zechariah and Elizabeth, you have two people who were supposed to live out the rest of their days childless. They were considered to be too old and too barren, and they knew that at this time, it would be impossible for them to have a child. Impossible. And Joseph and Mary, we have two people that were young and probably quite fertile and had the rest of their lives ahead of them. And a child at this stage in their lives would be impossible because they weren't married. A child would cause problems and they knew it. And it was impossible in their minds right now to have a child. Impossible. But yet, in the midst of all of this, in all of these two happenings, these are children of promise. God is doing something that the people of Israel have been waiting for and anticipating and expecting, and it begins to happen right here, right now, in the midst of these two very impossible situations. God begins to work in the midst of this. And what they thought was impossible, God makes possible. God is the miracle worker that takes the impossible and turns it into probable and makes it happen. Because God has a purpose. God has a plan, and it's miracles that he does. Do you think Mary and Elizabeth knew and understood the waiting of Israel, waiting that God was going to do something in the midst of their time period? Maybe, maybe not. But did they believe that God was going to do what God said he was going to do? Absolutely. Elizabeth would have completely understood that God's promises were going to take place, that they would happen. And Elizabeth, being a young child, would have known about these promises, and God was going to do it because he was faithful. They understood this, but did they think it was going to happen then and there? I don't know. But what I do know is that in the midst of it all, they were expecting that God would answer. And it's no coincidence. It's no coincidence that 6 months after Elizabeth got pregnant, Mary becomes pregnant. Because it was God's plan all along. Mary needed to have somebody in front of her that could help her along the way. Mary needed someone that would understand the bigness of the promise that Mary was holding within her womb, that a child of promise was about ready to be born. And she needed someone to walk with her. And that was Elizabeth. She needed to have encouragement from someone who could talk about the impossibilities of God's hand. the impossibilities of what God is going to work out and the burden that they both were carrying. You may have been carrying or may be carrying what you think is an impossible burden. And you are waiting for God to move. You are waiting for a miracle that only God can work out in your life. You are waiting for an answer to your concern. You're waiting for an answer to your prayer. And what we often do in our lives is we look around and we look at the natural world and we look at the limitations of the natural world and we say, that's impossible. That's never going to happen because that just won't work because it can't. And what we end up doing is we put God in a box. We put a lid on it and say, that won't happen. But in the case of Mary, in the case of Elizabeth, God doesn't live in a box. God lives beyond the natural and in the supernatural, and he can take the impossible and make it possible. When you're waiting, God is working. When you're expecting, God is working out the details. Faith is predicated by trust. And he who promised is faithful to the end. But what God needs is some believing believers. Too often, followers of Jesus are unbelieving believers. We believe in God, but sometimes we are not so believing in his possibility workings. We say, no, that's too far beyond. But we need to be believing believers that what God can do, there are no limitations to it. Let's stop putting limitations on what God can do. God can do the impossible. He opened a womb that was closed for many years. And a child named John the Baptist was born. That wasn't his last name. But that child prepared the way for the Lord. And God opened the womb of a child, a young girl. And the miraculous child of promise that would change the world was born. We don't just believe in happenstance that Mary got pregnant. No, we believe in the immaculate conception of Jesus, that Jesus being born. That was not, it was impossible. And I'm totally off my rocker right now because God did something that he could only do in the birth of Jesus. Let's be waiting for God to move and expecting him to move in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Even if it takes 40 years. Even if it takes 400 years, let's wait in expectation that God will move. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we don't always do our best when we're waiting. We struggle. But our waiting is in no comparison to what your people went through in those 400 years. That was just 400 years between the prophets and the New Testament. There's many more years of waiting in the prophecies of old that talked about your son Jesus that would come. I mean, if we want to go all the way back, it was at the very beginnings of Adam and Eve and their sin that the talking began of one who would come and defeat death and sin. God, our waiting can't compare to that. But we know at the right time, at the perfect moment, your plan began to unfold. And God, that's encouraging to us. And the fact that you take the impossible things that we think they are and you turn them and make them happen. You make the impossible possible. And for some of us today, Lord, we need the possible to happen. Because we feel as if we are facing an impossible situation. We are facing something that is beyond our understanding, beyond our capability, and you, God, we need your help. So God, will you see to these things? Each one of us that are facing what we might seem to be beyond ourselves offers you these things and says, God, will you work? We know you will. You are a faithful God. Even when it's the answer that we might not think is the right one for us, God, we trust you with whatever that answer will be. And so, God, thank you. Thank you for how you do work in our lives. I'm sure that most people wouldn't have thought of a child being born to two Nazareth living people in Bethlehem was the answer to the question that those folks were dealing with. But it was the right answer. Help us with that, God. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your son Jesus and his salvation. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us this morning. Just a reminder about the giving tree in the back. Check those cards out and then sign them out. And just thank you so much for the work that you're going to do there and for the way that you will be a blessing to those families from Nixon Elementary. Let's close our time together with worship this morning.